The following message by Dexter Ekpe is brought to you by Bridgeway Gospel Center. For more information, visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at bridgewaygc.
Hallelujah. Deliver us from evil. That's the topic of my teaching this evening. I'd like us to do like a hybrid teaching, teaching and prayer. So everybody to be in that prayerful mood. It's a teaching and prayer. So maybe you can have little bursts of prayer in between. We can put these things to work. So deliver us from evil. Let me try and get my note out. Psalms 23. Let's read that scripture. And I'll start building on a few things. Like I said, we'll be doing this very prayerfully this evening. Popular scripture: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yeah. Verse 4. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I trust. It's very important when you read scriptures like this, read from more contemporary translations, because you might not understand what a refuge or a fortress. Okay, a refuge is a more familiar English word, but fortress. Fortress is more of a medieval word or an epic word, something like that. Because in places where they have enemies and aggressors and they have these incessant attacks, so they'll build fortresses, cities of refuge where people can run in when there's an attack. For example, those who are in Israel, what you have, forgetting what they call it in Israel, usually, because of the rocket attacks coming in from the Palestinian regions, when you hear the alarm go, the Iron Dome or the defense system, when you hear the alarm, it means a rocket is coming. Look for a fortress, a safe place, and run into and hide. Because in those places, they are built to withstand those rocket attacks. So it says that God is our refuge and our fortress. So surely he will deliver me from the snares of the fowler. A snare is a trap. And from noisome pestilences. He shall cover me under his feathers, under his wings. I'll take refuge. Says, I will not be afraid of the terror that flies by night, the arrows that fly by day, nor pestilence that walks in darkness, or destruction that wastes at noonday. Says, 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none will come near me. Says, only with my eyes will I see and behold the reward of the wicked. Then I like the way verse 10 puts it. He says, because I've made, verse 9, because I've made the Most High my refuge because I've made the Lord my refuge and the Most High my habitation, there shall no evil come near me. No evil will come near me. Now, see, certain times we'll say some of these things, they can end up looking like they are contradictory. Because when we say that God doesn't manipulate people and that God doesn't control people, like, you know, like a puppeteer, then on the other hand, we now say things like God orders the steps of the righteous and directs our path. So it looks as if it's contradictory. No, it's not. God actually directs us. But see how it happens. When we say that God directs your path, it means God facilitates the conditions that will make good to happen to you. But he doesn't foist that good on you. So when we say that God directs your path, it means God makes possible, facilitate, orchestrate. To orchestrate means to carefully arrange situations that will yield to your good. But he doesn't force that good on you. Same with the devil. The devil also facilitates conditions that will bring you evil. But he doesn't necessarily have the authority to force evil on you. So although God facilitates conditions to bring you good, he says, I wish above all things, it's called the wish. Says the thoughts and the plans I have for you is good, not evil. It's a plan, not a self-executing plan. It says, I've placed before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. It's a blueprint I've laid before you. But both God and the devil depend on and are incapacitated without your cooperation. So for the good plans God has for you to come to pass, you have to cooperate with the plan. For the evil plans, listen to this, that the devil has for you to come to pass, you have to cooperate with the devil. Incidentally, ignorance is not an excuse. The fact that you don't know you are cooperating doesn't mean that your cooperation will not yield the results. For God, the cooperating with God means to have faith. So faith is the number one way you cooperate with God. No matter what God has planned for you, you need faith to tap into what he has planned for you. Without faith, you can't access. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when God has laid out his wonderful plans for you, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. The thought he has for you is good, not evil, to give you a hope and a future. He requires faith from your part to plug into that which he's doing. Faith is one. Love, you have to love God. It says, for we know that all things work together to them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So you need to love God as a corporation to have most of his plans to come true in your life. You need to be his child, to be a child of God, for things to come true for you. The Bible, Jesus said that I will not take that which belongs to the children and give to the dogs. There are things who are a heritage of the children of God. A heritage of the children of God. You need to have knowledge. Ignorance is a big destroyer. Unfortunately, we hear things like what you don't know cannot kill you. It's a lie. You are dying out of things you don't know. Bible says, because they have rejected knowledge, I reject them and their children. So knowledge of God's word is very important. Knowledge is a way of cooperating and plunging into what God has in stock for you. Hard work is important. God doesn't reward laziness. So when you hear things like, you don't need God for everything, that's what they are trying to communicate, even though it's in gross error. Or you don't need prayer to do everything. It means everything has its place. There are things you can never get until you work hard. You have to work hard. You have to be diligent. The Bible says if you see a man who is diligent in his work, he will stand only before kings and not mean men. So working hard and working diligently. After praying, put your prayer to work. After having faith and believing, apply your faith by working. The things God have in stock for you can never come to pass until you work at them. Look at the story of creation. Genesis chapter 1. Bible gives an account how God created everything and saw it was good. Everything God created, he saw they were good. But in chapter 2, if you read from verses 1, 2, 3, 4, it goes on to reaffirm the fact that God has created everything and rested. But in verse 5, it says, on the day before any tree grew on the earth. He says, after God had finished creating the whole world, there was no tree on the earth. Look at it now. He says, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. At this stage, God had created all of them, but they were not existent to the physical eye. Why? Because there was no man to till the ground. So the things God created in chapter 1 were all in seed form. Every promise God makes to you is in seed form. You need to work at it to make it to grow. And God doesn't waste anything. If there's no man to till the ground, God will not cause the thing to grow. God will not cause it to grow. So sometimes there is prosperity in your business already, but because you are not willing to give in the work, you're not seeing it manifest. Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But that grace I didn't take for granted. I labored more than them all. Yes, not I, but the grace of God that worked in me. It means without the labor, the grace would have been wasted. And there will be no result, even though the grace was available. So hard work and diligence is a way of accessing God's plan for you. It is a finished work. It's not the hard work that will make it happen, but to make it to manifest. There are two words here. That God gives you something doesn't mean that's manifested necessarily. That God has given you, the Bible says, all things are yours. He has given you everything. But for you to receive it into manifestation, there is a work you have to put in. Praise the Lord. So hard work and diligence, very important. These are the things you need to do to cooperate with God's plans for you. Then the plan of the devil. What do you do to cooperate with the plan of the devil? Number one, fear. Fear. Fear is a magnet that attracts evil to you. Fear is a huge magnet that attracts evil to you. Most times, anything you fear comes to you. That is why the psalmist said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil. Evil is available, but in potential form. Once I fear, I crystallize and materialize the potentials of evil to now manifest for me. That's why I will not fear any evil. Because why walking in that valley of shadow of death, if you fear, you not only attract, you will make physical the potential of evil lurking in the dark. Fear is the number one way you attract the devil and his works towards your life. Fear of death, fear of failure, fear of childlessness. How do you dispel fear? Simple, with the word of God. Not only by believing, but by speaking. Because our faith is voice activated. Faith is voice activated. The Bible says, don't say in your heart, who will go to heaven and bring this down? It says, no, the word of God is near you, even in your mouth. So once you speak it, the devil has ears, he hears. The elements, they have ears. The Bible says that when Jesus saw the fig tree, he went to the fig tree thinking he would get fruit from it. And he saw only leaf and no fruit. And Jesus answered the fig tree. Do you answer something or somebody who didn't say something to you first? It means the fig tree had said something to Jesus, and Jesus answered. In life, never leave any threat unanswered. Don't leave any threats, any opposition unanswered. If the devil tells you I will kill you, tell him you can't kill me. My life is hid with Christ in God. Make it vocal. Don't think into your heart. Say it from your mouth. Say it. Say it. I've shared this before. You are the best person to speak to yourself. Because when others speak to you, you hear from your outer ear. But when you speak to yourself, you hear from your inner ear. Let's demonstrate it. Close your ears with your fingers. Okay. Open your ears. Before you do that, when you close your ears, you speak to yourself. Close your ears and say something. Open your ears. Say the same thing. Which one did you hear louder? Because once you shut your ears to the outside, the real voice from the inside starts communicating to your soul. So sometimes when the devil comes to threaten you, shut your ears, then speak the words back to yourself. Fear. Number two, hatred is an attraction of the devil's plans to you. When there's no love in your heart, when you are not aware of God's love for you, and you don't have love radiating from your heart to other people, most likely evil comes to you. Especially as a child of God. An unbeliever can hate and seem to prosper, but you, a believer, when you hate, I'll show you why. Number three, being lazy attracts the devil's plans to you, attracts evil to you. But there's one thing that is the biggest attraction of evil to you. The biggest attraction of evil to you is doing nothing. Oh, you'll be so mistaken to think that just because you're walking through the world ignorant, hurting nobody, evil will not come to you. See, doing nothing is the biggest attraction of evil. Why? Because bad and evil happens by default. If you plant a crop and you don't tend it, it will not do well. If wheat grows, it requires no tending or caretaking to do well. Why? Because in this world, evil happens by default. If you plant a grain of corn in a sandy soil, it will not do well. But grass that is a member of the same family will grow on that sandy soil and do very well. Why? Because life is wired for evil by default. That's the biggest way you can understand how that happens. So if you allow your life to coast unattended, by default you attract evil. Because nothing is something in itself. When Nokia went down, Forbes were doing an analysis of what made Nokia to go down. So one of those days, the CEO of Nokia then was granting an interview, and he said that we did nothing wrong, and yet we still lost. And so when the commentator was analyzing that statement, he says, no, what you said was wrong. What you should say is that we did nothing and that was wrong. Because doing nothing in itself is evil. Doing nothing in itself is evil. You can't walk life just thinking that by doing nothing. No, that's an ignorant statement. It means I didn't wrong anybody, nobody should wrong me. No. Evil comes to those who do nothing by default. By default. Don't walk through life being all ignorant and simplistic. 1 John 5 verse 19, let me show you. Bad things happen by default. 1 John 5 verse 19. Says, and we know that we are God's children. That's the first part. The second part. But the whole world lies in wickedness. It says, although we are God's children, the whole world, the rest of the world, lies in active wickedness. That is King James Version. Look at the New King James Version. It explains why the wickedness in the world. Same verse, just another translation. New King James. Why is there wickedness in the world? We know that we are God's children and the whole world lies under the sway and active control of the wicked one. There is wickedness in the world because the world is controlled by a wicked person, the devil. And see, things usually take on the character of the controller. That is why the Bible says that it is an abomination for a good tree to bring forth evil fruit. Because you look like, your works look like you. So because the world is controlled by the wicked one, the devil, wickedness is the default state of the world. Ephesians 6 verse 12. It says, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood, not against people made with flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world. This should be the Living Bible or something. It says, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. And against the huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So these are the default custodians of the world. Now, when you see the word world in the Bible, it can mean up to four things. It can mean the earth as the physical infrastructure you are seeing around us. Usually, it's not what the Bible is talking about. It can mean sin, the world. It can mean the system that works and operates this world and the people living in it. That is what usually what the Bible talks about. The systems of this world. Bible is called, in Greek, is the word cosmos. So we have things like cosmic forces. Cosmology. The systems. The government system. Economic system. These are the systems of the world and those who attend to it is engineered by the devil, who is called the God of this world. He's the God, the ruler, and the controller of the system of this world. Why? Because God created the world and gave the world to man. Man was the God and owner of the world. The system, the operationality, and the functionality of the world belonged to man. Everything was tied to the sanity and the legitimacy of man. When man fell, everything went into disarray. Everything was scattered. Not only did everything scatter, the devil handed over control, legitimate control of the system of the world to the devil. So the devil became the God of this world. So because the world is in a state of corruption, things would go wrong by default without anything happening to it. Is what sin has caused. So to walk and live your life without active attention means you're allowing the corrupt nature of the world to run your life. And like I've said, evil happens by default. So you'll be a fool to think that because you've done nothing wrong, evil should not come to you. No. Let's look at the agencies of evil. Number one, evil men. The agents of evil. These are not the real doers of evil. They are only agents. Because the doers of evil are spiritual forces. But they use these agencies as their foot soldiers. Number one, evil men. Second Thessalonians 3 verse 2. Apostle Paul was writing to the saints at Thessalonica. And he told them, pray for us. That God would deliver us from evil and wicked men. Because not all men have faith. The Amplified Classic says, and we, that we may be delivered from perverse, improper, and unrighteous, and wicked, actively malicious men. For not every man has faith or is held by faith. The easy to read version says, and pray that we will be protected from crooked and evil people, because not everyone believes in the Lord. Look at the Living Bible. It says, pray too, that we will be saved out of the clutches of evil men, for not everyone loves the Lord. Not everybody loves God or believes in God like you do. Don't approach life with not suspicion now, not paranoia, but with a simplistic approach. There's one translation that says, not every believer is a real believer. Go through, just look at the Bible Gateway. You see one of those ones, 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 2. It says, pray that God deliver us from crooked and wicked men. Because even in the church, not every believer is a believer. Not every brother is a brother. Not every sister is a sister. Not every pastor is a pastor. Not every deacon is a deacon. Bible calls them wolf in sheep clothing. And guess what? A sheep doesn't know a wolf that's dressed like a fellow sheep. It is only the shepherd that knows. That is why if a shepherd is blind, there's a huge calamity. Because sheep are simple-minded, is a good part, but they're also stupid. So we should take the simplicity of sheep, but not their foolishness. They are evil men in the world. They can sit with you in church, eat from the same communion pot, but their hearts are actively malicious. Malice means in a state ready to always do evil or cause harm. That's their default mindset. Seeking any opportunity to harm you. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the world, and that every intention of his thoughts was only evil continually. Acts 12 verse 11. And Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angels to rescue me from Herod's clutches and from the evil intentions of the Jews. Evil men. You should know that these are number one agencies of evil. And they are around. And guess what? Sometimes they are used without their own knowledge. Because once you're a child of the devil, you are a slave of the devil. And he uses you without your cooperation. And like I told you, one way to cooperate with God is to be a child of God. One way to cooperate with the devil is to be a child of the devil. That's why if you're not born again, you're not a servant of the devil, you're a slave of the devil. There are two things. A servant works for wages. A slave doesn't own or earn anything. A slave is a property. The life of a slave is at the discretion, the whims and the caprices of their owner. So many people who do evil don't even know what they are doing. They are being used like puppets. Apostle Paul says, don't you know that anybody that you yield your members to, you become a slave to the person. Once you actively and consciously agree to do certain things, after some time you become a slave to that thing. That's where addiction comes from. That's why I know addiction is demonic. Because after some time you become a slave to that thing. The devil uses you at will. So, when the devil wants to cause havoc, looks for any of his child who has what it takes to cause havoc. And that one that's smoking, you go. I said, you go and smoke four wraps. Then add 31 tramadol inside. Then take scoochie and loud. Once he has put you in a state, he can use you. Just like when you want to mop the ground. What do you do with the mop? Soak it in water. As if it's just ordinary ground. If you are afraid that there can be infection, what do you do to the mob? Put disinfectant. So you are customizing the tool to fit the purpose. So when the devil wants to use a tool, he goes through his toolbox and sees the one who can do it better and picks one. That is why you should not be in fellowship with unbelievers. They are a risk, safety risk. Same with God. So when God wants to use his child, look for the one who is most available. See, this sister, she loves me, but she's a scatterbrain. She doesn't listen. No, she will mess things up. This brother, he loves me. He has a gentle spirit. I will use him. I know even when he's provoked, he will not mess things up. So for some of you, your anger stopping God from using you, because you can go there, small provocation, you mess everything up and even disgrace God. Because says, this will never grow. Let's bring a young man who doesn't know, who doesn't get angry, who has a meek and gentle spirit. So he picks you, puts you in the midst of provocation, but you are calm, and your calmness messes everybody up, and you win the trophy. Deliver us from evil. Number two agency of evil is the time. The days we are in. See what I tell you that? Atmospheres carry spirits. If you walk into a place where somebody has smoked, sit there for a few minutes and come out, you'll be smelling smoke. Why? The atmosphere carries a fragrance. If you walk into a man's house who's very wealthy, who is used to very good perfumes, and sit on his chair, you will stand up carrying his fragrance away. If you walk into an evil atmosphere, you are most likely to be a victim. Especially when you're the type that does nothing. You just go. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Look at the Amplified Bible. Says, therefore, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 Amplified. Therefore, since that you walk carefully, living your life with honor, with purpose, with courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Then not as unwise, but as wise, as sensible, as intelligent, as discerning. Verse 16, making the most of every time. It says, taking advantage of your time on earth and recognizing each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Some of you live your lives like total fools. I'm sorry to say. Like total fools. So careless. You talk anyhow. You go anywhere. You do anything. You have nothing. You are like a wild animal. Nothing rules you back. The days are evil. A man who doesn't have control over his anger is like somebody going into a place where gas is leaking and striking a matchstick. Because there's no discretion. There's no wisdom. The days are evil. It means by doing nothing, you can be a victim of the evil in the atmosphere. So he says the only way to avoid is to do what? To walk with circumspection, with carefulness, making the best of every opportunity. Why? Because all times are not the same. All opportunities are not the same. If they say you should take your drug by 10 a.m. and you miss it, can you take it again that day? No. You need another 24 hours because that time depends on 24-hour cycle. If they say take it every 12 hours and you miss it the first time, you still have another opportunity. If they say it comes once a week, a doctor visits his clinic once a week, 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Mondays, and you miss the opportunity, when else will you have it to come? 1 week after. So some are 24-hour cycles. Some are 7-day cycles. If they say, this man, the owner of that company, pays people once a month, if he's owing you, you must come on the 13th of the month and receive your money. If you don't, you wait for another how many days? It's a monthly cycle. Some cycles are yearly cycles. Some cycles come once a decade, once 10 years. Some come once a century, most likely once in your lifetime. You'll be a fool to not understand what its opportunity entails. So you walk like a fool. An opportunity that comes once in a lifetime, you approach it unthinkingly. You miss it. So you're not bothering God. But God told you, I brought the man that should have helped you. He met you at the gate. But because you have no respect for people, you insulted him. You didn't know he was a helper. And he walked away. Some of you are sitting in offices, but you met the boss downstairs. You didn't greet him. So wisdom and discretion saves you from the evil hanging in the time. There's no time. Number three, evil places. Some places and physical locations embody evil. You shouldn't go everywhere. Places. Psalm 23. It says the valley of the shadow of death. Some locations have evil. So they are called haunted places. Places are evil. Number four, some systems are evil. That's why as believers, you must be careful. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Although we live in this world, we are not like the world. It's not an innocent statement. He says, if you were of the world would have loved you. Yet, because you are not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That is why when an unbeliever does something, he can go scot-free. When a believer does it, why? Because the system of the world favors their own. The devil sometimes gives his children incentives. Why? He knows they are still with him. When you see a poultry man feeding his chicken, it's not because he loves the chicken. No. Why is he feeding the chicken? To be fat enough to be killed. So when the devil prospers his children, not because he loves them. So, the devil can prosper his children, but will not prosper you. Why? Wealth in your hand is risk to him. Yes. But God too will not prosper you if you're not diligent. Because wealth in your hand is a risk to the kingdom. So, you're not like a bat. You are not a. So, remember when Bishop Ike said, he told one of his members that if you become an unbeliever today, you will prosper. Why? Because the devil knows you are in his book. He will give you money. But when you are a believer, unfaithful to God, and yet you are fighting the devil, who will prosper you? So So choose one. Stand one side. Make thunder know where he won't from fire you. Some of you, you are broke because you are Christians. Once you become an unbeliever today, you make money. Why? The devil will give you money. You are his own. But you are a believer. You are unfaithful to God. You are lazy. You are hateful. God has no... See, you are hateful. You don't even show people mercy. So God cannot even show you mercy. Because mercy is the only quantity in the spirit that is garbage in, garbage out. Blessed are the merciful, for they obtain mercy. You can't get mercy if you don't give mercy. Some of you, you don't deserve it. But God cannot even show you mercy. Why? Because your heart is a dark prison. There are people who are held captives. Evil system. So the system of the world hates you. Why? You don't belong to it. So any opportunity, they'll do you evil. They'll do you harm. Any opportunity. But number one way to go out of evil is that we have faith in God. That's why I like that scripture. Psalm 91. That's how I read that scripture. I say, because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress. A fortress is a strong place. It's a strong house. If I had treasure to keep somewhere, I would choose the part of this building and reinforce it with 16mm rod round. Then I'll use real chippings and raw cement and cast it. Then I'll put an iron gate there, bulletproof, and I'll put my treasure there. So when people are firing gun around, I can run into that fortress. Why? It's a strong house. I will say of you, Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you I trust. Your fortress is useless when you can't trust. Hey, your fortress is useless when you can't trust. The fortress of God becomes active when you can trust him. Trust means relying on him unthinkingly. No look back. And guess what? It's only children that trust. Adults, you don't trust. Let me show you something. Let me show you what trust is. Deacon, come. Let me show you what trust is. He's his father. He didn't look back. No adult in this hall will do it. Wow. Although you doubt my intention, although you don't doubt my intention, you can doubt my ability. I know this man is a good man, but I feel heavy person. What if you know if he carry me? I did the first one. He didn't fall so far and I caught him. The second one, I stepped back. He fell a little farther and I caught him. The third one, he almost landed 45 degrees. Didn't look back. If an adult does that thing small, before this man, I have remember. And he didn't look back, never looked back. Why? Faithful is he who called. The man speaking is my father. He has capacity and he has character. And the Bible song says, Ibu chineke ebugi madu. Na madu na agaya. Madu na agaripu. Two things. Man can fail, man can disappoint. Failure is because of moral weakness. Disappointment is because of capacity weakness. No matter how much I love you, if you enter police with the IG, I can be praying for you here. I won't come to Abuja. Why? I don't have the capacity to save you from that trouble. I have love, but I don't have power to match my love for you. But God is not only the all-loving, he's the all-powerful. And guess what? He's the all-holy. So his power delivers on the capacity. His holiness constrains his character to not fail you. So his words are his bond. If I tell you I will help you, if you read, I'll tell you, sorry, I'll be a human being. Why? It is in my character as a human being to have moral failures. But the God who promises you, he's both all-powerful and too holy. His word is his bond. But that aspect of him cannot be activated until you trust him foolishly and unthinkingly.
Just trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Then he says, lean not on your own understanding. He wasn't talking about foolish people. People who are understanding, but don't lean on it. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Then he will direct your path. He will orchestrate your path. You know what it means to orchestrate? From the word orchestra. Careful arrangement. It means he sits down here, sees 3 days from now, knows there will be evil, but because you trust in him, he orchestrates your path. Some of you went to primary school because just one guy God wanted you to meet. Just one guy. God knew that if that boy is your primary school mate, when he becomes a president, he will say, you are my primary school mate. I will favor you. Your father was constrained by God 32 years ago to put you in that primary school because he's called the God who orchestrates. The God who orchestrates. Deliver us from evil. The story was told about Lionel Richie. He said it by himself. There are 3 people who were his contemporaries. The prince, the one that died in an elevator or on his, I don't know how he died. Whitney Houston and Michael Jackson. These 3 were his contemporaries. And the 3 died from drug overload. At the peak of their career, they became too successful, got into drugs, and died from drug complications. At the peak of his career, Lionel Richie, when all these guys got into drug, he had a problem with his throat. So he couldn't sing at that time. So he went down in lamplight. All those guys got hooked on drug. A few years after, he was restored. So what would have happened is that if not for that seeming desirable difficulty, he would have been the 4th guy who got hooked. He said it by himself, that God sent that challenge to save me from myself. It's called orchestration. God sees evil ahead and delivers you. You have to fear him. You have to love him. You have to trust him. You have to be wise. A circumspection. Say, God, deliver me from evil. Say, God, deliver me from myself. Because some of you are the devil's biggest tool to destroy you, yourself. Your lust, your desire. You want hammer. So you are walking into darkness. But you can't be restrained. Why? There's greed. That's why I love the fruit of the Spirit. Greed will kill you faster than the devil wants to kill you. The devil is not after a greedy man. Because a greedy man is already his own poison. Let's be on our feet. Make that prayer. Say, I shall fear no evil. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I will not be a victim of any agent of evil. Deliver me from evil. In the name of Jesus. Deliver me from evil. In the name of Jesus. Zanatoja, Father, deliver me from evil. Zonokoza Piera Kaladosa. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on. Let me hear you pray this evening. Zanatozo Kiata Kasha. Ema Zana nozia telekere de keletosia ta. Nina koze para kaza. Ena tuna kana pina kaza saka. Ena koze bel keledoza pa. Nina mania kone menekeza koza. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Say, I have power. Say, I have love. And I have a sound mind. Say, I have the mind of Christ. Fear has no place in my life. Say, anxiety has no place in my life. Oh, come on. Say, fear has no place in my life. Anxiety has no place in my life. In the name of Jesus, make that prayer. In a concha pa, erenegele bolotos ya de keletos pa. In a kanta sa, embredegele tos ya talakanaka. In a geletos ya talatosa. In my cause, I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. He has no place in me. In the name of Jesus, I have the love of Christ in me. I hate nobody. Hey, sa tuso para kam de levela cause pa. Embala no cause zira keletosa pa. Eza tosa pan de la cosa zira cosa pa. In a tuna cana yena cana yena cosa. La tu sana cada. Rina gila cosa tipa cana mosha to get a bala la casa. Ey, tazo zoro cola tosa pa. In an anacana rana cola tosa pa. In the name of Jesus, put Psalm 91 on the screen. Psalm 91, New King James. New King James, or easy to read. Any of my translations, I'll put it on the screen. Before then, we'll pray one last prayer. Say, Father, come on, say, Father, I receive the spirit of wisdom. See. See, wisdom gets you to do three things. Wisdom tells you step back or step forward or stand where you are. Wisdom has no scripts. Wisdom is as the occasion demands. Wisdom is a spirit that leads you to do what the occasion requires. For example, if I'm standing under this light here and it wants to fall, wisdom should tell me either step forward or step backward. Why? Because it's falling here. Then if because the last time it fell here, I stepped forward and I escaped it, then the next time it's about to fall to the front, what do I do? What did I do? I then jumped into it. It wasn't wisdom. So wisdom understands what the occasion demands and guides you to do it. See, the world is wicked. The system is wicked. But wisdom, by the power of God, exonerates you. Say, Father, I receive wisdom. And I ask by wisdom. In the name of Jesus, make that prayer. Come on, Shana Kozapa. Receive wisdom. In the name of Jesus. You will do as the occasion requires. In the name of Jesus. You will do as the occasion requires. In the name of Jesus. You are a child of wisdom. You are led by wisdom. Wisdom is your defense. Wisdom is a defense for you. In the name of Jesus, Shana Karana Koza Tila Kalataza, Lana Koza Benatiana Koza Pa, Aina Koza Ta, Embranatiana Koza Ti, Tina Tana, Tana Tina, Akanda Kiza Tosha Pra, Psalm 91 on the screen. Psalm 91 on the screen. Give me New King James. New King James. In the name of Jesus. See how we read the scripture. We read it from beginning to end. So the media guys have to follow us. That'll be the last. Then we'll just end the service. So instead of saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you will say, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Go to verse 2. I say of the Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God. In you I trust. So you are going to put it in the active present, not future. In the active present. So let's go from chapter 1, verse 1. Let's do it. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. I say of the Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, my God. In you I trust. Amen. Surely you deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Amen. You cover me with your feather, and under your wings I take refuge. Your truth is my shield and my buckler. Amen. I am not afraid of the terror by night,
nor the arrow that flies by day, amen, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste by noonday. Stop. This is what you call sudden destruction. Noonday means there's darkness and there's night. You understand that word? But noonday, where there seems to be no risk or danger, it strikes. Evil coincidences. Things seem to be going well. And all of a sudden, bam, it strikes in at your prime. In the name of Jesus. No more evil coincidence. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's continue. 1,000 may fall at my side, hallelujah, and 10,000 on my right hand, but none comes near me, amen. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Most High, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. He has given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. Their hands bear me up. I won't dash my foot against any stone in the name of Jesus. I tread upon the lion and upon the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. I trample under feet. Hallelujah. Because I have set my love upon you. Therefore you deliver me. You set me on high because I have known your name. Hallelujah. I call upon you and you answer me. You are with me in trouble and you deliver me and you honor me. Look at this one. With long life you have satisfied me and you have shown me your salvation. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Hey, we are way across. We see your salvation, huh? In the name of Jesus, my eyes have seen your salvation, and I will not be moved. I fear no evil. In the name of Jesus, no matter how bad things turn out, I fear no evil. In the name of Jesus, in accounts, attack, in Branakola, Kira Kalatoja, Pa, Iranadagada Palatoja, Panaka. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Bridgeway Gospel Center, 33 Anwai Road, Asaba, Sundays 9 a.m. and Fridays 5:30 p.m. You can visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Bridgeway GC. God bless you.